Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Good to see everyone. Welcome to all you visitors. Good to see you all and have you with us. Hope today you're encouraged to press on in the kingdom of God. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Let's pray. Eternal Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name this morning. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness to us. Thank you, Lord, for being a wonderful Father to us. Lord, I pray, God, as today we worship you, Lord, as I speak of your word, Lord, I pray, God, that today you would stir in each of our hearts to a deeper walk with you, Lord. I pray you would stir in each of our hearts to a faithful walk, Lord, to one that is willing to persevere and to not quit, Lord. I pray, God, that today you would come and meet with us. You would bless our time as we worship and look at your word. I pray, God, that your spirit would come and visit us here. We thank you, Lord, and we trust that you'll be here. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brothers, for sharing. It was already good to be here. This morning... I was thinking, what seems to be the biggest avenue for offense in our lives? The biggest avenue for being offended. Anybody have any thoughts? What is that? What could that be?
Pride?
Yeah, that could be. Thinking something practical, and we do it all the time.
Our words.
That's right. That's what I was thinking about, our words. We're always talking, right? I mean, most of us. It seems like in our day, it seems like our words, our tongue, our mouth seems to bring the most offense to people. And yes, our actions, the way we live can do that as well, but it seems like A word spoken can all of a sudden, that really bothers me what he said. Or we can maybe come across harsh and people can get hurt. And just brings offense. And James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." I was thinking, why did James have to give us that warning? If we're believers, why did James have to give us that warning? Be swift to hear, be slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I believe if James needed to give the church that warning, it's still a good warning for us today. James, I'd think of the scripture also that says, "The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And I had to think also of the wrath of man. When you get really angry, and maybe you don't struggle with it to that degree because you have the Spirit of God and God's given you victory over that, and praise God for that. But I believe most of us at one point in time in life can identify with getting really angry. Is it safe to think that way? Most of us probably could at one point in time. Yeah. When you get really angry, how's your thinking? In that time where you were really angry, could have I come and sought counsel from you and got godly wisdom from you? Do you think that's logical? No, most of you are saying no. You know, I remember the days where I'm out there working and I'm pounding in some nails, putting siding on, and bless the Lord, I get the wrong nail. And it's so cold out and you just hit the thing. And this is before I knew the Lord. And what do, right? I know what I did. I just exploded. I could be two stories up on a catwalk, and and I just throw my hammer and holler at it, and oh, and just get so angry. And then before my hammer landed, I always made sure I looked because I was going to have to go get the thing. You know, it did nothing for me. But at that time, that anger, that rage, something left. Reason left. When wrath is in our lives, reason leaves. Tell me, any sensible reason I should have thrown a hammer? Any good reason for it? I needed the thing. You know, reason would have put the thing back in my pouch and said, Lord, help me, that really hurts. But all reason was gone. It was just rage, and you just threw the thing. And that can go in many aspects. But that's just something that was real to me. And I remember giving my life to the Lord, and something happened. And I remember saying, oh, thank you, Lord. Help me through this. This hurts. And then later thinking about, like, hey, I didn't get mad. I didn't kick the thing. I didn't throw the thing. I bless the Lord for that. Now, years have gone by, and there's times where I'm not so successful. I haven't been throwing things and such like that, but just still in here, this welling up. But the reason leaves when that happens. Our prisons are full of men that because of wrath did things, ended up there. And I find it interesting to consider that there's a lot of men, their testimonies, they were living a nice family life, good job, and life was just going on. Yeah, they were outside the Lord, but I'm just saying that's how life was working for them. And something happens in wrath, anger, rage, and they commit an unthinkable crime that lands them behind bars. And today they would tell you, like, that's not who I was. I mean, that's not who I was. That's not how life was. It's just that moment I got mad and did something and I totally regret it. I can't believe I'd done it. But I was just thinking of the wrath of man, reason leaves. You become unreasonable. And so it is very, very important that we consider what James tells us here, to be swift to hear. Think about this. Let's give it some time. Let's absorb this. Because what Samuel just told me really, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to think about it. Because what I want to tell him, it's not the righteousness of God. Do you understand? Think about it. Be swift to hear. And then even maybe go a little further and try to hear the heartbeat. Maybe he didn't say it right. Maybe the tone was all wrong. But he really was concerned. Hear the heartbeat, and then be slow to speak, because the wrath of man will not work the righteousness of God. James 3:5, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Think about this little member that's inside your mouth. Think about that thing. That little thing can... You think of fires out west, these big wildfires, that little thing can start a big fire. Oh, it starts raging fires. It turns communities upside down. It destroys people. You know, James tells us every kind of beast, birds, serpents, and things of the sea have been tamed by mankind. He says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's the tongue for you. But you know, I can testify the goodness of God. When we get born again by the Spirit of God, our bodies can be brought into subjection to God. Our tongues can be controlled, but only through that avenue. Outside of that, we can't control that thing. Through the strength of man, you can't tame it. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As I consider my life, you know, I want to, I'm not claiming perfection, that I have reached a plateau where my tongue never gets me in trouble. I'm not claiming that. But God is faithful to prick me in here when it does get me in trouble. He's faithful to put me on the right course. I can repent when it does. As I consider my life, there has never something happened to me that I had full rights to use my tongue carelessly and be righteous. Think about that. Has there ever something happened to you that gave you full rights to use your tongue carelessly and still be righteous? I don't think so. We're called to an upright life. So carelessly using our tongue and hurting people because of we got hurt, there's no excuse for it. How powerful are words? Words are very powerful. I believe we would all agree with that, right? I had some cousins, they heard of something, and so they did an experiment with their coworker. Now, I wouldn't recommend you try this. It wasn't necessarily nice, but I was intrigued by the outcome. So there was 6 or 8 guys working in a shop, and my cousins and a few of the other guys, they said, hey, when worker so-and-so walks in the door, they had a plan. I'll meet him at the door. I'll be there. And everybody, and in periodical times, you all talk to him. And I'm just talking about the power of words and the power of your mind. And so they heard that if somebody hears that or thinks that they're sick long enough, they'll actually get sick. Okay? And so they said they're going to experiment with this and see if it's true. And so one met him at the door and said, hey, are you doing okay? You look a little bit like you might not feel good. Are you all right? And he was like, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. Oh, okay. And left him go. A little while later, another one nailed him. And they did it until each one of them. And they said, by noon, this guy was so sick, he went home. He couldn't even work anymore. Our words are powerful. They affect people. You know, we've often heard this phrase, I'm sure a lot of us have. Some say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but the words you say can never hurt me. Is that a true or false statement? It's a false statement. Words can hurt. Words can hurt us. Sticks and stones, they may break our bones. But our words can really hurt people. Words can derail the direction a person is going. You know, you have a sinner man and he's on the course to hell. And somebody is witnessing and they share the gospel, the good news with him. And it changes his course. He turns around. Words did that. The Spirit of God. But it was still words from another man. Words can change people's course. You have a man that is being faithful to God, and he's going through a difficult time, and words at a certain time. And he says, forget it. Forget it. There's too much pain. This isn't worth it. It derails him. Words can do that. People get offended because of words. People get hurt. And so today, another aspect of using our mouth, and I was just thinking, made me think of, as I was thinking of words, I was thinking of just bringing our attention to humor. Sometimes we all like to laugh, I think it is, safe to say. Most of us have a humorous side to us. And humor, healthy humor is good. But I'd like to just bring our attention to what are the things, or did you ever think about the things you laugh about? Did you ever consider, is it healthy? Is it right? You know, there's time goes on, there's things, and when I first gave my life to the Lord, that I would have never chuckled at. I would have said, no, it's sin. As the, I don't want to even chuckle about that. It's serious. And then as years have gone by, I've been thinking, lately I was thinking, there's times where I chuckled at that, and I did, So I kind of slipped back a little bit in where I was. And that's why I want to bring it to our attention, is because humor, it's a healthy thing, but it can also be an unhealthy thing. So today I'd like to talk about healthy humor. And it's an area that I want to be more careful in. So the question I have that I'd like for us to ask as we go through here and think about this is it holy? The things I laugh about, is it holy? Can I stamp holiness unto the Lord? Or does it conflict with the Word and Spirit of God? I was just thinking of laughter. Laughter is an interesting emotion, is what it is. It's an emotion, but it's interesting. Because many people respond in different ways. And so we can't just say because somebody laughs a little bit too much, oh, he's carnal-minded. You can't do that. Because we're all made up differently and we respond differently. Laughter, it's a sound when people are happy, right? I mean, I hope that in your home that you have happy times where your home, it's a little noisy. Everybody's chattering and there's laughter and it's just everybody's having a good time. That's healthy. I hope that you experience that. Laughter is a sound when people are happy. It's a sound when people are mocking someone. So there's a negative side to laughter. It's a sound when people are nervous or afraid. Did you ever know that? There's people who will laugh because they're really nervous about something. they laugh because they're just unsure. They're nervous. And some people, they're actually afraid and they just chuckle. Like instead of crying, like normal people would just cry. I don't mean you're not normal if you laugh. I'm just saying it seems to be normal that people that are afraid or pushed beyond their limits, they just break down and cry, okay? But some people, they don't. They just laugh. It's not hysterical. It's not the knee slapping. Oh, just good. But there's a laugh that comes. And so those things happen. And it's that sound as well. I remember hearing of someone that didn't cry easily, but they laughed instead of crying. In this situation would have put, I would say, almost most people to tears. But they chuckled. That's how they dealt with it. And so we need to be careful when we see people laughing and we get real critical with that. Some people, they laugh to hide pain. They laugh to hide pain. Maybe they're being mocked or ridiculed. They just laugh about it. I remember being in school, and this young man in my class, he would have probably a little bit, I would say, let's say he was not in the popular crowd. And so he kind of got made fun of. And I marvel that he never got mad. He never retaliated. He just laughed. He just laughed about it. But there was pain inside. There was pain inside, and he was covering it up. Because he was just as human as the rest of us. And I know that some of us that did the ridiculing, we would have been ferocious. We wouldn't have laughed. It wasn't nice. But some people, they just laugh to hide it. Proverbs 14:13 says, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. Some people laugh to push away a guilty conscience. You know, Lord's pressing down, and if you can just keep in a laughing, lighthearted mood, you just kind of, you can push it away. Push it away. So some people do it that way. But there is healthy humor. And I'm not going to give you a bunch of examples of it. I know you guys understand that. I just want to bring us to a, I just want to call us to attention to, let's look at our humor. Is it healthy? Is it holy? Or is it at the expense of another? Where is our humor coming from? I have a nephew. He damaged his running gear. And so I challenged him to a race the other day. And he just responded and said, how do you say that anymore? He responded and said that we better not. He said, because if I beat you, it's going to look really bad. That's healthy humor. You know, his running gear was his ankle. He was hobbling along. He just could hardly get around. I thought, hey, this is my perfect time to beat this guy. And healthy humor. Just be pure in your humor. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. It's healthy to have a merry heart. It's healthy to be happy. And laughter is good for us. But we also know that everything beyond its limits is unhealthy. So just thinking of healthy humor, in Colossians 3, it talks about putting off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Healthy humor removes filthy communication. And so if it's got filthy content, it's not healthy. Ephesians 5, 1 through 7, I'll just read this portion of Scripture for us. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And then he goes on to say, you were in the past, you were partakers with them. That's the way you walked in the past, but don't anymore. You've been changed. So, healthy humor. Have a heart for the kingdom of God. Love as dear children. Refrain from the flesh. And then he says, foolish talking and jesting. He says, they're not appropriate. He said, but rather give thanks. Give thanks. Foolish talking, in the Greek, it means silly talk. Jesting, in the Greek, it means witticism in a vulgar sense. Ribaldry. So it has a vulgar sense to it. And if this is part of us, he's saying we're not inheriting the kingdom of God. He said the wrath of God abides on the children of disobedience, the people that walk this way. And he's calling us to not be partakers with them. So our mind and our speech, we shouldn't be partaking with the way this world is living. We shouldn't be laughing at the things that that go against the Word of God. We shouldn't make light of God and of His kingdom. That's one thing I would like for us to note is we shouldn't be irreverent. We shouldn't be irreverent in our humor. King David, he says, he was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. There was a reverence there. We should delight in that, not make light of it. Healthy humor, it's not irreverent. It does not make light of God and His kingdom. And falling under that, there are certain church jokes that they downplay the kingdom of God. They downplay God. Not all of them, but let's just be careful that we are not downplaying God and His kingdom. They seem harmless, but let's think about it. Is it really the kingdom way? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame to even speak of these things which are done of them in secret. Healthy humor refrains from making light of sin. It refrains from making light of sin. We're told to put off the old man and his way. And so when you think about having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, and to not even speak of those things which they're doing in secret, it's referring to sin, the life they're living, then is it wise for us for that to be part of our humor? Think that's healthy? That goes against healthy humor. And what it does is unhealthy humor actually has a drawing away from God effect. It numbs down the Word of God. It numbs down the seriousness of God's Word. It downplays it. Then I remember hearing, this was a number of years ago, a man, no, I think it was the woman. Yeah, she would often make comments jokingly about leaving her husband. Okay, just jokingly. And nobody ever took her serious. But she did that for years. And a number of years ago, she actually left her husband. She actually did it. And everybody's like, what? And I was just pondering this. I was thinking, healthy humor, it doesn't make light of God and His ways. It doesn't do that. And when we do that, it downplays the seriousness that actually opens a door that it allows us to do those things that we're just in joking manner about, you know. So, just a thought for us to consider. Be careful. You know, just healthy fun, healthy humor. It'll avoid things that represent works of darkness. Things that shouldn't be, he says things here that are ashamed to speak of these things, even that they do in secret, those things shouldn't be part of our humor. I had to think of, it's cold out, and you go outside and you can see your breath. You know what children's tendency is to do? Just having fun. They pretend that maybe they're smoking. That's not healthy. That's unhealthy. Because there's a picture of sin. There's a picture of darkness. And so refrain from those things. There's healthy humor, and there's things that that actually will breed rebellion in our lives when we make light of God and His ways. We're called to prove and reprove, not join in. So if you see people doing things, we're not called to just join in, but we're called to prove it, to make sure it's real, make sure it's right, make sure it's good. And then if it's not, we're called to reprove it. Bring that to attention and say, Brother Matt, I think we ought to consider this because we're really making light of the Word of God, aren't we? And Matt can respond angrily, or he can say, you know what, you're right. You're right, we shouldn't do that. And when you young people and children do that, it's just over, you know? It's like, let's just go on in life now. It's done. We don't carry that. We don't need to carry anything, any resentment for anybody. Just praise the Lord that someone was willing to do that. Ephesians 5:10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then verse 13 says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So we're called to reprove. Healthy humor refrains from getting its humor at another's painful expense. That's something that's really prevalent today, is laughing at other people's pain. Do you know what YouTube's full of? Think about it. There's very few of you, if any, in here that are exempt from knowing what I'm talking about. We live in a day and age where videos, they're out there. YouTube's full of laughing at people. And you know what else? It's full of laughing at people's pain. It's just the most humorous thing to see that guy crash into that telephone pole. You should have seen that thing. Or that guy ride his bike and wipe out. Humor. Healthy? Unhealthy? What's that doing for us? What's that doing for us? Is that building up our faith? Or is that bringing a neutralizing to where we can just kind of laugh about what anything that comes by anymore? Just think about it. Healthy humor looks to make sure it's not intentionally causing pain. Keeping a mindset of the kingdom in light of the scripture. Healthy humor refrains from mockery. Mockery. And you know, this can get pretty close to home sometimes. Just mimicking, mocking people, it's not healthy for us. It won't come out in the long run. It'll affect your being. And you know, God never dealt with it lightly. Was it Elijah or Elisha? Elijah, I think it was. That they were mocking him. They were saying, "Hey, go up, you bald head, go up." They were laughing at him. You children know what happened? You know what happened in that account? Anybody? What did God do? He sent some animals out. I think it says he sent two she-bears, I thought it was. And it said it tore them up. There was 40 or 42 people, something like that. And it just tore them up. I mean, do you think that just happened? It just so happened there was two bears there. They were mocking. God orchestrated that. He says, you don't make light of the things in my kingdom. We can't tolerate this. And God dealt with it. Today, he's not going to send a bear after you. He's actually being very patient with you, that you repent and one day come to him. But if you don't, there's a day coming where you would be judged for your sin. And so God is being very merciful today. But just don't lose sight of, God don't really care no more. No, God cares. He never changed his mind on it. It's still just as serious. And so keep that in mind. Let's not be mocking people. You know, I spoke a little bit on the YouTube thing, the videos, but another thing we can ask ourselves, what are we laughing at? What is the content? Is it holy? And if you stop and think about a lot of them, it's endless and it's empty and it's ongoing. I remember being a teenager and I had a set of these movies. There was maybe seven of them or so. And it was all humor. And then they made me laugh. And I did a lot of it. And I went to bed. It was later. And I snuck my TV out and I started watching these things. And before I knew it, it was 3:00 in the morning and I was still watching these humorous movies. But I was thinking back on that. I remember coming to a point where I was thinking I should just go to bed because I couldn't even laugh anymore. Like, I couldn't laugh anymore. I'd done laughed it all out. And so to watch another one, I about couldn't even chuckle. I was tired. It was just empty, empty. And that's the same with today. You can get caught up in YouTube, Facebook, and I don't know what all the other platforms are. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time and you're feeding your soul. You're feeding your soul. And if you feed your soul that garbage, that's what's going to come out. That's what's going to come out. Your lifestyle will change. Your reverence for the Word of God, it goes down. Why? Because that's what you were feeding on. You were feeding on that. You were feeding on things that went contrary to the Word of God and you chuckled. It was humorous. Be careful. That empty feeding. It's almost ironic, empty feeding. But there's no meat there for you to really digest. It'll take you to a direction you don't want to go. James tells us, what is James telling us when he tells us about in James 4:9? He says, be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and let your joy turn to heaviness. Is he saying no more laughter, no more humor? Is that what James is telling us here? I've heard some people take a pretty strong stance that, you know, what James wrote there is pretty strong about not, we shouldn't be, you know, laughing and that type of thing. Is that what he's telling us here? If you look at the context, James is addressing a church. He says, you guys are fighting. You have wars among yourself. You're not even praying accurate. You pray to consume the things upon your flesh. He says, you're off here. You guys need to repent. You guys need to stop laughing about these things, and you need to repent, and you need to get serious with God. That's really what he's telling them here. He's giving them a call to action. Giving them a call to action. And then right after that, he gives them a call to humility, to exercise godly conduct in loving each other, not speaking evil of one another. James is calling a church to stop being just merry and letting everything go on, but he's saying, you guys, you're fighting. We could just read it even if you'd like. But that is the context when he calls the church there to repent. He calls them to humility and back to God. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Don't they come even from your lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill, you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war and yet you don't have because you're not asking. You ask and you don't receive because you're asking wrongly, he's telling us. He said, you're asking so you can consume it upon your lusts. Then he's telling you adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? He said, whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And this is the context that he's saying this verse in. He's calling them to repent. He says, you think the scripture says in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? He says, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. It's a call to repent. It's a call to stop taking life lighthearted when you got all this going wrong in your heart. Repent. And then he goes on to say, and speak not evil one of another. So there was a problem in the church. And that's what this here is in context of. It's not in healthy humor. Healthy humor. Can I stamp holiness unto the Lord on it? Can I do that? Can I stamp holiness unto the Lord on my humor? Or is it from another person's painful expense? Is that where it comes from? Is my humor reverent? Is God pleased with my sense of humor? I know laughter, it's healthy medicine. I understand that. And that's the reason I'm bringing it to our attention, because I believe it is healthy. But there's a healthy side to that. And there's also an unhealthy side. Because too often we find ourselves laughing at people. And then it goes against the Word of God. Psalmist says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. We got to have a reverence for God that we're careful. That we're careful in what we're saying. And also the very next verse there says, incline not my heart to do any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Not participating. You know, we can refrain ourselves or, you know, just kind of stand by idly, but, you know, when we see something's going on and our call is to reprove it, then I think it puts us in participation when we don't. And so let's be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. So, just in closing here, we have warnings to be sober-minded, but that doesn't mean no humor. That doesn't mean not having a merry heart or a merry home, a happy home. But rather it means it'll be right. It won't be foolish. There won't be coarse, vulgar traits in it, in our humor. Healthy humor, it won't make light of sin or the kingdom of God. We won't get humor from other people's painful expense. And healthy humor will have a thankful heart. You know, the children of, I was thinking of laughing, the children of Israel, God delivered them. And it says they went laughing and singing, and they were proclaiming to the heathen how great, wonderful things God done. I thought that was interesting, laughing and singing. They were bubbling over with joy, testifying how good of things God has done for them. Having a thankful heart, it will produce healthy humor. And let's be sober, let's be watchful in the day that we live in, because if we aren't, our humor can come from the wrong source, we'll feed from the wrong thing, and then all of a sudden, the things of God just don't mean so much to us no more. We're not reverent, you know, where we wouldn't participate in joking about something that's tainted a little bit about sin. We'd never do that. Now we do that. Where we would refrain from making comments about leaving your spouse. Now you kind of chuckle about it and it's a humorous thing. But if we stay sensitive and reverent to God, we'll be able to keep ourselves from those things. And then the Word of God stays sharp in our hearts. It stays very alive. And it'll direct us. The Spirit of God will direct us. But let's do what we can to honor the Spirit of God when it puts its finger on, hey, you know that area needs to change. And when we do that, it gets sharp. And it directs us. Now we're not wandering aimlessly, but we've got a course charted. And so, healthy humor, you all know me, I enjoy a good laugh. You know that. But we all know when it goes beyond that and there's foolishness and all that other involved, that even after that laughter, there's a heaviness. It's not fulfilling. And so, my heart is that we would just walk seriously with God and prosper. So, Lord bless you all. Thank you.